I'll start with this question for you. What groups do you belong to? You can just take a minute, kind of make a mental list. What are my groups? Because I suspect most of us either are or have been at some time a part of numerous groups. If you belong to like the Alexandria Buckeyes or a social club like that, that matters. If you take part in 4-H bands, various high school bands, that's important. You being on the team or on the stage is significant. You being here matters also. Just as much, in some ways more. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is going to write of the importance of the body of Christ, the local church. In a lot of sermons, when we turn to 1 Corinthians 12, you may have a heading like mine right at the beginning. It talks about spiritual gifts. And a lot of times we jump right to verse 4, and we'll look at 4 and following. But the first question in all that, why is Paul writing this section? This section of the letter being like chapter 12, 13, 14, what is he addressing? And this is 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this next three chapters, 12, 13, 14, it's in response, right, to some of the questions they had, maybe misunderstandings about spiritual gifts, and they had a different list of gifts available to them, things that they needed in the first century before they had the scriptures written down. But spiritual gifts is always a topic of interest and discussion. But what did he say in verse 2? You guys remember in your past, when you were pagans, when you were non-believers, you were led astray, erroneously, but you were led to believe certain things that we now know are wrong. Remember how you could get confusion, you know, like, is this person speaking for God, or are they speaking of the devil? Is this person speaking the truth? Well, and where'd you get a lot of that, he's asking. The groups you were a part of. The people you were around. Verse 2, you were influenced and led astray. And you please be honest, but you don't have to answer out loud. Have you ever gone along with the crowd? It could even be one or two people. Only to find out they steered you in the wrong direction. And what have we said several times in the past weeks? Paul knows that a lot of these Corinthian Christians are young. They're new in the faith. They got a lot of society in their ears. They've just come out of a whole life of idol worship and all these other issues. And there's a lot of people that they hear that are saying a lot of stuff about Jesus, and some of it's good, and some of it's bad, and some of them are their friends, and some of them are their family members, and they've got all these different levels of who accepts Jesus to what degree. It's common. You might remember the Simon the sorcerer, as he's described in Acts chapter 8. He was new. He was young. He was easily swayed. You know, he's a little bit confused by where all these gifts, and can I buy that? You know, Paul has just gotten done in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, talking about all the food that they had sacrificed to idols. It's all around these people. It's everywhere they go. And sometimes it was hard for them to distinguish, is this from the one true God? You know, how do I know what's right? Enter the church, or the people of God, or the body of Christ, which means we, you and I, CCAA, we need to be unified, harmonized, an in agreement body of believers, and we all consistently say and do and teach the same thing. So nobody comes in or becomes a part of our body and gets confused. That was chapter 14. He's going to write it in verse 23. You know, if you guys don't get together and understand what these gifts mean, somebody could come in off the street and they come in your church and think you're out of your mind. Whether we're inside this room or beyond these walls, you know, we all have to be together. We need to be presenting the same truth, pointing people in the same direction. I am confident that all of us have one or more friends, probably even family members. If you ask them about church and things of faith, and they will say very politely, they'll say, yeah, I don't believe. I don't. And here's where we want to be at the end of this message. We want that same friend or my family member to say, personally, I don't believe it. But I know if you go in that room or you're around that group of people, they all believe it. 100%. You know, I've quoted Brad Paisley's Crazy Christian song. You know, it's funny, much as I'm baffled by it all. If I ever really needed help, you know who I'd call? Those crazy Christians. You know, the body of Christ. What do we need to take away from 1 Corinthians 12 so that we can be a healthy body of Jesus in these parts, in these times, so that we can point people to God? So here's the big long sentence, and then we'll break it down. The one true God has gifted me individually to serve the local body collectively so the community will see faith clearly. Like I said, well, you can see on the outline, break that down in bites. The one true God. Let's read beginning with verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. That is one God. Different gifts, same Spirit. Different service, same Lord. The one true God. That is where all of this begins. Remember, the Corinthians are coming out of all that idol worship and the Greek gods, and they see a temple and something religious on every corner, and when their kids go to school, on the little walls of their elementary schools are all these posters of all the Greek gods. Who is this? Poseidon. What's he in charge of? The water. Who is this? Hades. What's he? Hera, etc. All their gods. You know? This was chapter 8, 1 Corinthians 8, 5. As indeed there are many gods, many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everybody knows this. Modern day illustration. I don't know, have you ever been frustrated by trying to pack and you have to get so many different cords and chargers and... You know, well, I'm going to take my phone, so I got to have my charger, and we need one of those because that's her phone, and the kids have different phones. If we take the old iPad, then we need the white charger. Well, umpteen power sources. In the church, it starts very simply with God. There's no other source. There's no other foundation. There's no other creator. One God. The one God has gifted me individually. Verse 8, verse 9. There are different gifts. To one this gift, to one that gift. It's all, and diversity is a word here. It's not an inherently combative word. Diversity is about what makes each of us unique, includes our backgrounds, personality, life experiences, beliefs, all the things that make us who we are. That's it. That's what Paul's getting at in this text. The one true God has gifted all these different people differently, individually. But the key in verse 7, to each one, all of us, everybody in the room is gifted and valued to each one. Verse 11, he gives them to each one just as he determines. Everybody, the assignment of gifts has nothing to do with who merits what or who's innately spiritual. You know, God assigns gifts to Christians just like he assigns gender to humans. You know, yeah, I don't get to pick and choose. You know, that's kind of been the issue. If you have a church and they kind of the same gift, that's not how this works. You know, God made you, and you and you and me, and he gifted us individually, and he brings us here to this point so we can work together, so we can be a healthy body. You know, that's a very famous illustration. From this chapter, there's a big section about Paul equates all of us as church members to the limbs and the parts of a human body. Look in verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. What happens too many times that cripples the body? Same thing happens in the church. The different parts break down. They get down on themselves, or they get discouraged. Oh, I wish I was this part. Seems like it's more important. You know? Or they, I don't know, where they start side-eyeing another part. Oh, he thinks he's more important. You know? That's what makes the body break down, when the parts fight. And this is apparently an old fable. I've never heard it. It was called the fable of Menenius Agrippa. It's an ancient word. He said, in the days when men's members did not all agree amongst themselves, as is now the case, but each had its own ideas and a voice of its own, the other parts thought it unfair that they should have the worry and the trouble and the labor of providing everything for the belly. They therefore conspired together that the hands should carry no food to the mouth, and the mouth should not accept anything that was given it, and the teeth will not grind up anything that they receive. While they sought in this angry spirit to starve the belly into submission, the members themselves and the whole body were reduced to utmost weakness. And that can still happen. For Christians to miss their own value. And he illustrates with the foot and the ear, thinking they're not as important. That could be telling. That's kind of a gut question. Would you rather? You know, would you rather lose your feet and your hearing, or your hands and your eyes? You know, and I don't know how many initially would say, the former, I get. You know, it seems easier to recover that, but if you really had to do that, lose your foot or lose your hearing, you realize how difficult it is. You know? Verse 18, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The one true God has gifted me individually to serve the local body, collectively, right? To each, it says in verse 7, to each one, gifts are given. Why were we given gifts? So you can get money off your gifts? No. So we can, well, they say, can our gifts and sit in the can? No. For the common good. Romans 12 says the same thing, verse 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Talk about sharing. You know, do you know anybody has trouble with joint ownership? Remember marriage, back in chapter 7, verse 4? They're just talking about two people there. You know, the wife's body does not belong to her, but her husband. Husband's body doesn't. You know, some people are going, yeah, let's struggle with sharing my body even with one person. Don't even talk about sharing our money. And now here you are in the church saying the whole body for the common good. Every time Paul writes about spiritual gifts, it's in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 3. It's in Ephesians chapter 4 with verse 7. And here in 1 Corinthians 12. Every time he writes about gifts, he always connects them to the local church. And those three lists are all different. There's not a comprehensive list. But you combine all those together and you find a list. And the Bible doesn't know anything of a church that doesn't have gifted people. And it doesn't know anything of people who are working and exercising beyond the context of the local body. This is kind of blunt, you know, but how are you contributing? How are you using your talents, your gifts, your willingness to strengthen the local body? Right now, and you can count praying, giving, teaching, leading, serving, baking, talking. You know, I'll talk to a minister and like especially in a smaller church, they'll say, yeah, we don't have anybody that can play the piano. Don't have anybody. You know, I count it up. I know we have like 4, 5, I think I got to 6, and there's probably some people in the room that are holding out on me that could play and didn't tell me. You know? And you might be here going, well, I'm not at that level, you know, more confident. I'll give you that. But if you were to move for some reason and you go out further out and you find yourself in a church where there's nobody, you're being called up. You know, I think the concern here is to be reliant on somebody else. That's pretty hard for some modern Americans. We don't care for that. You know, it's getting harder. It's getting harder and harder to get people to commit to a group or to include other people or to actually have to rely on someone or let them rely on me. And we do pretty good when they're kids. We're all about it. Teamwork when they're kids. Play sports. Learn teamwork. Be a part of the band. Learn teamwork. Go to 4-H. Be together. And then we grow up and we kind of grow apart and we kind of forget what it means that I got to rely on other people or have other people rely on me. How many people would just rather be independent? I'll take care of it. I'll provide for my needs. I got it covered. We got it covered. You know, it's like the portal mentality. I'll plug into this over here for that, and I'll plug into this over here for that, and I'll plug in, but I'm going to be the one that controls all the plugs. Okay? As a church, we feed into it. We've done it for years. You know, worship's available whenever you want it. You know, there was a day, I do remember, there was a day where if you did not come to this room at 9:30 on Sunday morning for worship, you missed it, and you just went without for another week. And then we decided we could record it. And we would give you, you had to put in an order for a cassette tape. And then the tape process went to someone and it got, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but there were these little square plastic things with a little ribbon of tape. And we would make that for you. And a few weeks later, it'd be out on the table, you know. And then we went high tech and got these things called CDs, which again, some of you don't know. And now it's immediately available. Video. Anytime you want. You know, if you want a challenge this week, you can check yourself. You can read through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. When you get to 14, you're actually reading ahead for next week, so you'll be ready. You know, but be ready, because it says, in this section, Paul will show no sympathy to a highly individualistic and self-satisfying experience of God's Spirit. You're going to find stuff in these three chapters. How can my gifts be used to help somebody else? Craig Blomberg said it this way. In a land still heavily influenced by a heritage of rugged individualism, believers need to work even harder to demonstrate that Christianity is not merely a personal religion. It's fundamentally corporate. And even our language feeds into that because we all talk about my personal relationship with Jesus. How can I grow closer? That's where it starts. Yes, my decision. But in how many days after that, it's not primarily about myself. It's about bringing and building and helping other people. And Paul's writing to these young Christians. They're learning their formative years, and it's real easy to get a ton of it. Okay, apparently it's just me and Jesus. So I just got to learn about the Lord. I need to get as close to Jesus as I can. Yes, that's part of it. But be sure you look around. You know, God's as concerned with the horizontal as he is the vertical. God knows your gifts. He gave you your gifts. But he's interested in how I'm using them to aid other people. And if you question me, you say, well, I know the Bible says, what's the most important gift? What did Jesus say is the greatest commandment? We can put Matthew 22, 37 and following up there, and you can read the first. Yes. But what's right on its heels, also in red letters, love your neighbors yourself. The Message put it this way. By means of his one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. Verse 18, God has arranged as he wants us to be. The one true God has gifted me individually to serve a local body collectively, so the community will see all our faith clearly. Is anybody watching you? You know they are. And I'm not just talking about when we're on video. And some of them are watching because they love nothing more than to see that we fuss and fight just like they do. Because then they say, oh, they're no different than us. No. We work diligently to be unified, to be in agreement, because as hard as that is, it speaks volumes to a fractured culture. It's kind of easy, if we're not careful, to kind of think like everybody else. One writer said, do you notice the social stratification in verse 21? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And he said, you notice the eyes and the head, that's upper level. That's management. That's the people and the families who on the surface appear to have everything put together. And the hands and the feet, the lower level, the blue collar, that might be the families that have a struggle here or there. We need every family. We need every body. Verse 26 says, when one part suffers, every part suffers. You go all the way back to the first chapter of this letter. Who does Paul say God uses? The weak or the strong? It'd be the weak and humble and the lowly and the things that are not. Why is that? Because the world doesn't understand it. The world says those are not the people that should finish on top. The world says there's a certain grade of person who should win the day. And God says, I'm going to use the people you expect the least. And I have been guilty of this, like as a coach, and maybe I'll miss a game and Craig will tell me some play that was significant and I'll say, who made that crucial stop as a defender? And he'll tell me which girl it was and I'll go, really? Kind of surprised. Didn't expect it from her. I would have thought it would have been so-and-so. I don't know, maybe as a teacher, you've kind of been surprised when a student makes a grade. Hopefully not as a parent or a spouse, but it happens. You know, when we do well together, the world has to look at that. And they have to look in here and they kind of ask themselves, how did that ragtag motley crew get all that accomplished? You know, because the Romans wouldn't, from it, verse 23 talks about honor and parts that are less honorable. The Roman military, right? They were all about the honor circuit and the parades and the triumphs. And there were certain people who were deserving of getting all the credit and deemed worthy. And then there were some other people that were not. And we have kind of the same thing today if you've watched any of the recent award shows on TV. You know, when they always have the red carpet and the fine wardrobes. I've never been invited. No. When we allow God to use us, when we serve and we share and we take care of each other with what in verse 25 is no division and equal concern, people notice that. And I'll finish with this story. I found an article from February of 21 by a Sidney Page in the Seattle Times. Says about Sarah and her family. It says, Sarah Pascucci received a letter in the mail February 3rd scolding her for still having their Christmas decorations up. The anonymous letter says, take your Christmas lights down. It's almost Valentine's Day. And she said, while this letter would have upset me in a normal circumstance, it hit me especially hard now because she had just lost both her dad and her aunt to COVID within a week's time. Her dad, who lived with her, was the one who had put up the Christmas decorations right after Thanksgiving, as he always did. And she said, now here in these weeks following his death on January 15th, we couldn't bring ourselves to take him down. And receiving that harsh letter was like a major blow to my heart. She says, nobody really knows what's going on in our house or why we didn't take the decorations down. So she shared the letter in a local Facebook moms group. And she explained why it was painful, and she hoped that the anonymous sender would see her post. And this is what she wrote. The family has been preoccupied with funeral arrangements, mortgage and utility payments, and just the grieving process of it all. So yeah, we haven't gotten around to taking down his Christmas decorations. Be kind to people. You never know what they're going through. Well, as social, this is where social media does well. Within minutes of her sharing that post, comments pour in. And friends write notes, and they send flowers, and they make meals, and somebody sets up a GoFundMe account to help with funeral expenses and utilities and what have you. And it says, beyond the private acts of kindness, what struck Pascucci the most, she said, is that a bunch of their neighbors went and started putting their Christmas decorations back up. They went up in the attic and they went down in the basement and they redecorated their houses in February. It says, although the holiday season is long past, twinkly lights and festive ornaments recently reappeared on the streets of Bethpage. in a show of support for a grieving neighbor. We can do likewise. It's not always Christmas or Easter around here, but whether it's a holiday or a normal day, I have to remember the one true God has gifted me individually to serve the local body collectively so the community will see our faith clearly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can be a part of a family. Father, we know that, like every family, we're sometimes not very good at it. And we insult and isolate and group up and stand aloof. And we pray that we would see again with your eyes our brothers and sisters, that we can celebrate one with another in times of joy and success and completion, and likewise stand shoulder to shoulder and open arms in a time of frustration and disappointment and anger. Father, we are reminded that you have gifted each of us. You need us to be a part of this local body and of your greater kingdom, and you are looking to work through all of us individually and collectively this week and beyond. Father, thank you for all that you have given us in the past. May we be a part of sharing your truth in the future. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.